Kingdom Exhortations. May 2026. Read by Stephen Keysweater.
Good morning. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, the Apostle Paul begins by making one of the most audacious statements any Christian can utter. Quote, "Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ." 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1. It's important we understand that although Paul wrote this exhortation, the Holy Spirit confirmed the veracity of his words by including them in the Holy Scripture. Since the Holy Spirit led him to write this, it is our responsibility to study the life of the Apostle Paul as revealed in the New Testament Scriptures and to emulate his faith and walk with Jesus Christ our Lord. How much does your current lifestyle reflect that of the Apostle Paul, that you may be an example for others to follow? Quote, "Brothers, join in imitating me, and keep your eyes on those who walk according to the example you have in us." Philippians 3, verse 17. As Christians, we should not look to draw unhealthy attention to ourselves by acting in ways that are a stumbling block to others and are contrary to Scripture. When we go to church or Bible study, we should dress and behave in a way that is honorable to Christ. We should not be a distraction from worshiping Jesus, whether through our appearance or mannerisms. We ought to act in a way that is respectful and fitting based on the cultural norms of our society. Quote, "I praise you for remembering me in everything and for holding to the traditions just as I passed them on to you. But I want you to realize that the head of every man is Christ, and the head of the woman is man, and the head of Christ is God. Every man who prays or prophesies with his head covered dishonors his head, but every woman who prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head. It is the same as having her head shaved. For if a woman does not cover her head, she might as well have her hair cut off. But if it is a disgrace for a woman to have her hair cut off or her head shaved, then she should cover her head. A man ought not to cover his head, since he is the image and glory of God, but woman is the glory of man. For man did not come from woman, but woman from man. Neither was man created for woman, but woman from man. It is for this reason that a woman ought to have authority over her own head, because of the angels." 1 Corinthians 11, verses 2 through 10. The Bible teaches an order of leadership in the family unit. Christ is the head, then the husband, then the wife. It's essential to understand that for a man to effectively lead his family, he must be actively pursuing Christ. A man ought never abuse his position as the leader, but should consistently cooperate with his wife as an equal partner in the relationship. He must be devoted to Jesus in everything that he might set an example for his wife and children to follow. Quote, "Nevertheless, in the Lord, woman is not independent of man, nor is man independent of woman. For as woman came from man, so also man is born of woman. But everything comes from God. Judge for yourselves. Is it proper for a woman to pray to God with her head uncovered? Does not the very nature of things teach you that if a man has long hair, it is a disgrace to him, but that if a woman has long hair, it is her glory? For long hair is given to her as a covering. If anyone wants to be contentious about this, we have no other practice, nor do the churches of God." 1 Corinthians 11, verses 11 through 16. Regrettably, most Christians have experienced material dysfunction in their church life. As leaders, we have consistently failed to facilitate an appropriate and responsible setting for discipleship and growth in Christ. We need to examine ourselves individually and corporately and earnestly repent to Jesus for our failure and mistakes. Quote, "In the following directives, I have no praise for you, for your meetings do more harm than good. In the first place, I hear that when you come together as a church, there are divisions among you. And to some extent, I believe it. No doubt there have to be differences among you to show which of you have God's approval. So then, when you come together, it is not the Lord's supper you eat, for when you are eating, some of you go ahead with your own private suppers. As a result, one person remains hungry and another gets drunk. Don't you have homes to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God by humiliating those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you? Certainly not in this matter. 1 Corinthians 11, verses 17 through 22. One of the most unique and important aspects of Christianity that makes it different from all other world religions is the sacrament of communion. When we thoughtfully partake of the communion bread and juice, we are actually participating in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Contrary to what most professing Christians believe, we can take communion anywhere at any time, as long as our heart and mind is focused only on remembering Jesus and all that he did for us at the cross. Quote, "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, after supper, he took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this, whenever you drink it, in remembrance of me.' For whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So then, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. Everyone ought to examine themselves before they eat of the bread and drink from the cup. For those who eat and drink without discerning the body of Christ eat and drink judgment on themselves." 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 through 29. When we choose to live our lives in a way that's contrary to Jesus in the scriptures, we should expect him to discipline us. The discipline will not be pleasant and can come in the form of various hardships and difficulties designed to lead us to repentance. It would behoove us, therefore, to quickly and earnestly repent of any ongoing sin or disobedience in our life and walk with Jesus. Quote, "That is why many among you are weak and sick, and a number of you have fallen asleep. But if we were more discerning with regard to ourselves, we would not come under such judgment. Nevertheless, when we are judged in this way by the Lord, we are being disciplined so that we will not be finally condemned with the world. So then, my brothers and sisters, when you gather to eat, you should all eat together. Anyone who is hungry should eat something at home so that when you meet together, it may not result in judgment. And when I come, I will give further directions." 1 Corinthians 11, verses 30 through 34. Let us go now and determine to study the life of the Apostle Paul that we might emulate his love and devotion to Jesus Christ. Quote, "Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you." Philippians 4, verse 9. When you participate in Christian fellowship, do not be a distraction to others by your actions or appearance. Examine your personal life and church life and earnestly repent for any sin and dysfunction you have caused in your own life or that of others. Make an effort to honorably and humbly fulfill whatever role Jesus has placed you in, whether in your family or in the workplace or in the body of Christ. Quote, "Jesus called them together and said, 'You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be your slave. Just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Matthew chapter 20, verses 25 through 28. Begin the practice of taking communion when you're alone, or at Bible study, or with family and friends. When you do this, make sure that your heart and mind are focused entirely on Jesus and what he did for you at the cross. Intentionally meditate on the overwhelming suffering he endured in order to provide for your forgiveness, salvation, and deliverance from hell. This is not a time for you to think about yourself, your sin, or your own life in any way. It's entirely about Jesus and only Jesus. As you learn to effectively practice taking communion, you will begin to experience deeper life and intimacy with Jesus that will strengthen your love for him and your faith in him. Quote, After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again from the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Luke 22, verses 17 through 19. May God bless you all.
Make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness knowledge, and to knowledge self-control, and to self-control perseverance, and to perseverance godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But if anyone does not have them, he is nearsighted and blind, and has forgotten that he has been cleansed from his past sins. 2 Peter 1, verses 5 through 9.